Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Could you tell where my head was at when you found me? Me and you went to hell and back just to find peace.
Back in on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. And joining me now, as is customary every single Tuesday, that's Christian Fowler, senior writer and content creator for Bluff City Media. We have a podcast called the On the Bluff Podcast. Releases every single Tuesday at noon. Cover Tigers. We have a segment called The Hot Three where we cover everything in the nation. But he is on X at C Fowler BCM. Christian, what's the word, man? How's it going?
Doing wonderful, brother. How you doing?
I am doing well. We have a lot of Memphis news on the basketball front with the transfer portal, and we have Ryan's contract extension. I want to start in the transfer portal, though. We have to go ahead and talk about this roster now. No Carl Cherenfant. Looks like he's hopping in the transfer portal. I understand that if someone hops in the transfer portal, they still can come back to the spot that they're transferring away from, but this doesn't seem like that. Right now, you got Ashton Hardaway, potentially David Jones, and Nick Jourdain as the names that could potentially come back, plus Noah Stansberry and Joe Cooper. That's a tough one to hear, because you want sustainability with this program, and Carl Cherenfant was going on his sophomore year. They just don't have a lot of guys with a lot of years left. And looking at their potential portal additions, it doesn't look like they're going after a whole bunch of guys with a bunch of eligibility left either.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big thing that we called for over the last month or so, maybe even into the back end of the season, is we want to see something built a little more sustainable, as you mentioned, something that can last, you know, 2 or 3 years at minimum. Preferably, if you do it right, then it really doesn't have to have an endpoint if you're constantly cycling in talent. But I agree with you. It looks like they're targeting more experienced players in the portal. They don't have guys with a lot of experience left. So this could be the way that Penny and the staff go about it, is, you know, getting a team for a year, maybe 2 years, and that's kind of what you have. Carl Cherenfant getting into the portal. You said something about, you know, if you go in, you can go back to that team. It's hard to see in a situation like that, a player who is a true freshman and didn't get much playing time. It's hard to see him getting into the portal and then coming back, because you would imagine the market's not going to be huge for a player like that. So if you figured, you know, Memphis is my best option, you would think that he would stay. So with him entering the portal, that kind of seems like he's going to go elsewhere, and a return is not very likely. And then the transfer portal targets at this time are not a ton of young guys. There's one young guy who I'm sure we'll talk about, yep, who was a true freshman this last year at Tulsa, and PJ Haggerty. But other than that, there is experience there. And I think for both of us, we don't hate targeting guys with experience. Obviously, it's good to have players that have been there, done that, have collegiate experience. But there's a balance to it that I think we both share the sentiment that they can find a little more balance this year rather than go out and get, you know, 5, 6, 7 one-year rentals. That's going to completely overturn the team in 1 year.
Why is it so hard for Penny Hardaway? And I know everybody seems to struggle with this, but why is it so hard for Penny Hardaway and the staff to keep these young guys on board, these high school recruits? And I know it's tougher and tougher for everybody around the country, but it seems like most every high school recruit, if they're not named Hardaway, don't stay here for 2, 3, 4 years.
Yeah, I think a lot of that is the landscape. I mean, we've seen it. Typically, 5, 6 years ago, a player like Carl Sharonfont, he would have probably sat the first 2 years or so of his career and then been a serviceable player for, you know, 2 or 3 years, depending on redshirt and, you know, if he was able to go to the draft or had, you know, draft prospects or anything like that. And just in this modern landscape, I truly believe if you don't get a freshman that comes in and plays minutes, and I guess it doesn't even have to be like a lion's share or majority of the minutes, but if you have a true freshman that comes in and doesn't see the floor, then just objectively, it is probably in that player's case better to go, you know, to downgrade to a smaller school where he knows playing time is available and can start building towards what everyone in college basketball's dream is, which is the NBA, or other than that, at this point, more NIL opportunities. Because yes, you're going to get paid to go to a school, but if you're not playing and if you're not making an impact and people don't know who you are, companies around the area that you're playing in don't really know who you are, you don't offer any monetary value, then it's hard for you to get any more NIL deals. So it, objectively, it makes sense, I guess, from a business perspective, maybe not from a player development, you know, kind of cutting your teeth, paying your dues perspective. But I understand it, and I think that's a lot that has to do with it. If you come into college wanting to be a one and done, you don't get that opportunity, maybe you blame it on the staff and you want to try to go play somewhere else. Or if you're a lower-rated recruit and you don't play that first year, well, maybe you think you should downgrade to a smaller school or downsize to a smaller school to where you'll get more opportunity. I think that's just what we're seeing with no penalties for transferring.
Right.
Is you know, the grass is always greener,
yeah,
on the other side.
And I think for a lot more coaches, especially Penny Hardaway, it's let's get this right here and now. And that usually doesn't involve a freshman playing. Let's get this thing,
yeah,
going. Let's get into the tournament. Let's win 25-plus games. That's usually not – that does not facilitate a freshman getting a whole bunch of minutes.
No, not at all. Unless they're, you know, a top 10, top 15 level player that is expected to have an immediate big impact. And that's such a small percentage of players coming out of high school that, you know, and we've talked about this issue for years now, and we're seeing it more and more prevalent, you know, now that we move further into this NIL era. The one of the biggest conversations that was had at the beginning of NIL, and this was coinciding with COVID, which already had high school players being over-recruited with players getting an extra year of eligibility, but the high school player becomes less and less attractive just because you don't know what you're going to get from some of those guys. Sometimes you find diamonds in the rough, and you know, that 75 to 150-plus range. You find guys that come in and from day one contribute and are really good players that, you know, for whatever reason, just weren't more highly ranked coming out of high school. So we are in a landscape where high school players are being over-recruited, and that's just kind of the matter of fact right now.
Mm-hmm. Now, some of the guys they're going after right now, P.J. Haggerty, there's mutual interest there. I saw that we remember the Tulsa game, the nudges and the handshake line, and them sort of smiling at each other after P.J. Haggerty had a really good game. Dane Dainha, who is a 6'9", 270-pound forward/center who's about to be a senior, obviously from Illinois. He's from Minnesota originally. He is on campus, it looks like. He's visiting. Aaron Scott, North Texas wing, is a guy they're looking at. He's going to be a senior as well. When we talk about wish list guys that you really hope that Penny Hardaway can land, who are those guys?
Yeah, P.J. Haggerty is definitely up there. I mean, we're talking about longevity of a program, and P.J. Haggerty as a true freshman averaged 21 points per game in the same conference, and he can really do it all. He can rebound the ball well for an undersized guard. He can pass the ball well, obviously can score at a high clip. So he's got to be at the top or near the top of any Memphis wish list because he's done it in this conference. And Memphis obviously gives him a bigger platform than Tulsa does, whether that's NIL or TV time or notoriety, whatever that case, Memphis is just a bigger platform than Tulsa is. And we mentioned a couple last night that aren't necessarily players that Memphis is known to have made contact with yet. And I think at this point in time, it is a lot of speculation because you'll see, you know, 40 teams have contacted this player.
Oh,
so
I always make fun. The portal report, since they came about, it's like a list of 50 schools that they bought a Twitter Plus for.
Right. Right. And that's the thing. Like, okay, what's considered a top 15 to 20 player at their position in college basketball hits the transfer portal. Of course, just about every team that believes that they have a shot and a lot that don't believe they have a shot are going to reach out and contact that player. That just it just makes sense. So that it doesn't really mean anything. So as far as just wish list, what type of players Penny goes after, obviously I think we both agree. We hope that this staff goes after players that, you know, not only were productive at their previous stop, but fit the system.
Yep.
They fit what Penny wants to do both offensively and defensively. And one of the top guys that fits that mold to me is Cliff Amori out of Rutgers. He's a player that Memphis recruited coming out of high school. So he has a prior relationship with at least Penny. I know there's no really leftover from the staff from that point in time, but he at least has a relationship with Penny. To what extent, I don't really know, but I do know that Memphis recruited him back when he was coming out of high school. And he's been a really productive player, especially over the last 2 years at Rutgers. 6'11", 240 pounds, long, athletic center that can get up and down the floor. Averaged 13 points 2 years ago, 10 points this last year, right around that 8-9 mark. Rebounds, averaged 2.9 blocks per game this past season, I think like 2.4 2 years ago. So he's basically a rim-running big who can get up and down the floor, and that's something that is very important to this system. I mean, we've seen it with players that have been here, bigs that have been here, and not necessarily even in the same exact mold, but we know how important DeAndre Williams was. We know how important Precious Achiuwa was. We know how important Naquan Tomlin was this past year. So having a player like that is really paramount for Penny and his play style and what he wants to do. And it's a fit.
Yep.
It is absolutely a fit. It's not a Jordan Brown, you know, someone that needs a lot of attention, needs the ball in their hands a lot in the low post. Cliff can impact the game in multiple different ways, not just with the ball in his hands or not just, you know, parking it down low and trying to work post moves. Obviously, averaging 3 blocks per game, that's something that is a big part of his arsenal that he brings as a rim protector. And then, as I mentioned, as a rebounder and as a scorer, if you need it, but he's not someone that has to score to be effective. And so I think he fits exactly what Penny wants to do and what this system is. And so I think he is a really good fit. We'll see if Memphis does get involved and to what extent, but I think a player, it doesn't even have to be Cliff necessarily, but a player like that is very important for Penny. And so I would like to see them prioritize the center position. I know obviously point guard is going to be big as it should be, but center is something that this team has been up and down with over Penny's tenure, and getting someone experienced that fits, I think, is really important for this transfer portal recruiting class.
And also, when you're looking at accolades of guys in the transfer portal already, if you see all defense attached to their name at their last stop, I think those are guys that Penny and this staff need to sort of look at. And Cliff Amori fits that. He was all defense, I think, the last 2 years in the Big Ten at Rutgers. So I like that thought process. Talking with Christian Fowler at C. Fowler BCMC, senior writer and content creator for Bluff City Media. Something that I think a lot of people are struggling with right now, though, when we look at how they have to go about sort of replenishing this team, getting more guys. I mean, they're going to have to, you know, fill out the roster with using the transfer portal. with David Jones in his current situation, likely going to test the waters of the NBA. You don't know when he's going to ultimately make a decision. It'll probably be June, July before that happens. But I think something that people are struggling with is do you wait around for him or do you build without him? Do you build this team without having the thought process be he's going to be our main guy going into next year? I think that you sort of have to, right? You sort of have to assume the worst when it comes to David Jones and go build this team to be sustainable without him, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Because how could you build a roster and, you know, you say, okay, we know or we believe that David Jones is going to occupy this position, so we're not going to recruit someone who can be a starter at that 2/3 and who can make this kind of scoring impact, and we'll just get a reserve 2 or 3 that can come in and relieve him for whatever, 6 to 10 minutes a game. And then he doesn't come and you're left with a hole in your roster. So you absolutely can't do that just because you don't know. I mean, as we expect, he's going to probably test the waters and see what that offers. Also, if he wanted to, you know, get in the portal, that's an option as well. So it's not something that you can really sit around and wait on, especially with how quickly these teams get involved with, you know, transfer portal additions, and you do have a fair amount at least of players that want to wrap that decision up relatively quickly so they can get on campus and kind of get ingrained in the culture and in the system. So this isn't a situation that is touch and go as far as them recruiting other players. Yes, it's touch and go with David Jones because they don't know. But as far as, you know, getting involved with players at that position and with that scoring prowess, that's not something that you can really sit back and wait on. You have to attack that now like he's not going to be there. And if he ultimately decides to come back, then you adjust from that point. And I think that's the best way to go about it.
Now, considering how this is all playing out, I mean, we have the Final Four and the National Championship game coming up next weekend. Obviously, National Championship game on that Monday. They need to move back this portal sort of window, right? I mean, it just feels like it's a massive distraction to the actual basketball being played on the floor. Everybody else is trying to recruit their guys, trying to find their team for next year, and you have four teams still trying to fight it out.
Yeah, I think it's a distraction. I think it also, for the teams that go further into the tournament, it's a bit of a disadvantage because
and they should not be at a disadvantage theoretically. I mean, if you have that good of a year, I don't know if you should be at that disadvantage.
Right. So you get into the tournament and you start winning games and you start looking around your roster and saying, well, a lot of these guys aren't going to be back next year. Like look at UConn, I think, is a pretty fair example. Expecting to lose like Stephon Castle, Tristan Newton, Donovan and Klingon.
Four of your five starters in all likelihood.
Yeah, and your top three players on your team are probably gone after this year, and you don't really have an opportunity to get a head start on these guys. Now, at the same time, I get it at where UConn's at this point. They kind of sell themselves, but you can go through pretty much every team in the tournament that's carried on and say, well, they're not going to have X amount of players for next year, and because they were winning games in this tournament atmosphere, they don't have an opportunity to get a head start on this recruiting like some of the teams that didn't make the tournament or that are already out of the tournament. And so that is a little bit weird. I don't think you should really be able to get into the portal or recruiting the portal until after the national championship. Everybody's done, everything's settled. Then you kind of start looking forward.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
To next year. I get it from the coach's perspective. They want to get a head start. They want to hit the ground running as soon as the season's over. But it just really doesn't make sense until everything's all said and done. The majority of the players that are going to enter would probably enter at that time because everyone's done playing at that point and has kind of had an opportunity to weigh things on, you know, is it better for me to go somewhere else? Is it better for me to stay? Is it better for me to test the NBA waters? And so it is kind of weird that it starts so early, and it really doesn't make any sense, honestly.
Yeah, I hear you. Now on to Tiger football. We have an extension for Ryan Silverfield. University of Memphis and Ryan Silverfield have agreed to an extension. We've been waiting on it for a while. It's 5 years, $12.25 million. So he'll get $2.2 million in 2024, $2.25 million in 2025, $2.5 in 2026, $2.6 in 27, and then finally a little bit backloaded, $2.7 in 2028 if it goes that far. I mean, this very much does tell you the University of Memphis and the athletic department, they're very happy with last year, and they don't think this thing's going to bottom out because now he's getting paid at the same rate as, you know, the top few coaches in this league. Jeff Traylor, I think, had 10 years, $2.8 million, so he's right up there at a $2.8 some odd million average annual valuation. Alex Golish, I think, somewhere around there. Do you think this is deserved, or are you worried about how this is going to age?
No, I think it's fine. I don't think there's anything wrong with this move at all. We talked about it a couple weeks ago that it was a little bit of a catch-22 situation because this past season was Ryan's really only successful year, 10 wins, but you also still had some questions of, you know, was there some meat left on the bone? And you look at the other side of it, okay, what if you extend them and Memphis goes out and they do, you know, get that group of five spot in the playoff, and then that price goes way up after that and things change in a positive direction for the program, or they continue trending in a positive direction for the program, but that number changes. And so really now I believe was the best time to go ahead and do it. He was coming off of a successful season, 10 wins. The recruiting has been really solid, especially in the transfer portal. There's a lot of seemingly a building hype around this team for the coming season, especially with the expansion of the college football playoff. So I'm not messed up about it at all. I think it's a good deal for both sides. I think it came at the right time. And now Ryan has an opportunity to go into, you know, the next several years potentially and continue building this program out the way that he has. We've seen Memphis take steps up, especially this past season. Granted, you can say less competition, whatever. They still won 10 games. They still won a bowl game. So you can't really take anything away from that. And so now he knows that he has the opportunity to continue building this program, especially after all the rumors last year, not even necessarily rumors, but just talk from the fan base of, you know, should Ryan be here? This is, you know, it's gone too far. This was, you know, a feel good story at the beginning, but he kind of overstayed his welcome and people were talking about, you know, potentially moving on from him. He answered those questions, obviously at least bare minimum, to the administration last year and to the higher ups in the athletic department. They rewarded him. And now it's, you know, go out and continue to prove that, you know, you should be at this level and, you know, can continue building something in Memphis. So I think it came at the perfect time. Good deal for both sides. I'm not upset about it at all.
And I would imagine most people that are out on Silverfield are just waiting for the buyout language, right? Like that's sort of what right. They're looking at this moment. Because I do think that if there is 8 or 9 wins next year, I think most people will be very disappointed with this extension.
Yeah, I mean, that should be disappointing, barring something like your starting quarterback getting hurt. Eight or nine wins is absolutely unacceptable with the way that this conference is aligned, with the amount of talent that Memphis has. They should not be an 8 or 9 win team. Now, do I believe if they won 9 games next year, do I think Ryan Silverfield would be fired?
No.
No, I just don't see that at all. Would that innuendo start picking up again from the fan base? Absolutely.
Sure.
Because this team is too good to, you know, lose 4 or 5 games, in a season with the amount of competition that they play.
Mm-hmm.
So,
no.
Yeah, 8 or 9 wins, definitely disappointing. You're definitely going to get that chatter back from the fan base. But I still don't see the university moving on from him if he does have an 8 or 9 win season this year.
No, I hear you. I hear you. Talking with Christian Fowler at CFowlerBCM. We have a podcast every single Tuesday. It releases at noon. It's called the On the Bluff Podcast. You can find it on Apple, Spotify, full-length video version on YouTube. Now, how much did you enjoy the women's games last night? That was damn good. That was great TV. That was great TV. You had all these stars, Caitlin Clark, Johnson, she was phenomenal. Angel Reese had 17 points and 20 rebounds before she fouled out. Paige Beckers, after all those injuries, 28 points. Juju Watkins for USC, she's next in line. She's a freshman, and she's unbelievable. That was great TV. That was phenomenal TV. The women's game and the growth we've seen is absolutely phenomenal to me. I can't get over sort of what it starts to look like by the time we get to the end of the women's NCAA tournament. I mean, these teams, these stars, I think they're outshining in a lot of ways some of the men's stars on that side. I mean, the most known men's player is Zach Edey at this moment. I understand why, but a lot of these women are absolutely taking their moment and they're running with it.
Yeah, and honestly, it is cool to watch because there's been so much rhetoric forever. I mean, I don't think you can really pinpoint a time of, oh, it started here. I just don't think there's ever been the respect, appreciation, eyes on women's basketball at all. And you have a group of players that have really brought women's basketball to the forefront, college women's basketball to the forefront. With Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese being arguably the top two of those. Paige Beckers has been very hyped since she was in high school before she landed at UConn. So it is cool to see because, I mean, not even that long ago, what, 3 or 4 years ago, if you scrolled on Twitter and, you know, like us, if you follow Bleacher Report and ESPN and all these other sports accounts, you never saw anything about women's basketball
right.
outside of maybe who won the national championship or something like that. And that was about it. Now you scroll on it, and last night, that's all I really saw on social media was about Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark and Kim Mulkey and Paige Beckers. And
everyone was locked in. Everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I mean, we were doing the podcast last night, and we had the games come on back-to-back, and we didn't finish out the USC-UConn game there, but we did watch the majority of the LSU and Iowa game, and it is. The game's a lot of fun right now. It truthfully is. Caitlin Clark is just
ridiculously
good. if you go watch our podcast episode from last night, you'll see both of our eyes consistently going to our right, and that's because that's where our studio TV is, and so we kept checking over there while we were doing the podcast. And she's a lot of fun to watch. And Angel Reese as well, as you mentioned, 17 points, 20 rebounds, fouled out right at the end when the game was really over at that point, but it's really cool. Storylines are really cool. That was the national championship game last year. That was a really big deal and very highly talked about. And to see Caitlin Clark kind of get redemption in that, being, I don't even know if you say arguably anymore. I don't really think you do, the best women's college basketball player ever. Kind of
definitely
that
best offensive player. Definitely best offensive player. Let's see if she can get through and win a championship. Although I'll put her up there for sure.
Right. Definitely up there regardless of if you want to say the best, top three, top five, whatever. She's definitely up there, but she is missing that one piece, as you mentioned, which is a national championship that she is now still in pursuit of after kind of slaying the dragon of LSU that she lost the national championship to last year. So there's a lot of cool storylines right now, and there's also just a lot of really, really good women's college basketball players at this time.
Buddy, and another pseudo-star in Haley Van Lith, watching her have to – I felt bad for her having to chase around Caitlin Clark all night last night.
Yeah,
that did not go her way. 41 points, 12 assists. I mean, she worked her ass off, though. I'll give her that. Like, she was – there was no questioning her effort, but Caitlin Clark's just a different animal altogether.
Yeah, and I think it shows you that there's just levels to it, because Haley Van Lith is – one of the best players at the collegiate level right now, but there are levels, and Caitlin Clark is at the top of that heap. And she, Haley Van Lith, just couldn't contain her. And it wasn't for a lack of effort or a lack of position. It's just that Caitlin Clark is that good. And yep. She's outstanding. And she showed it all night last night. Some of the moves that she makes, you know, getting to the basket or finding teammates is just incredible. And that's not even mentioning her, you know, 26-foot plus three-pointers that she knocks down so effortlessly. So, yeah, Haley Van Lith could have done just about whatever she wanted last night, but Caitlin Clark, nothing was going to stop her.
Yeah, and some of these programs are actually working in making money, which I think in the past has been something that's been lost on just about everybody in women's college basketball besides UConn with the dynasty that Gina Auriemma has had all these years. Now, I want to transition into the men's Final Four before I let you go. We have two games coming up this weekend. NC State is dealing with Purdue, Alabama versus UConn. Is there any way you're picking either underdog in either of these games? I love DJ Burns. I love what he's done. Mark Sears for Alabama, he's been phenomenal. I think, you know, the more he keeps playing at this level, the more he'll get looks at the NBA level, because I think you can sort of make the comp. He looks similar to Jalen Brunson. He plays similar to Jalen Brunson. Obviously, it's a step to say he will be Jalen Brunson at that level, but he has been great. But UConn and Purdue just look different. They look different this year.
Yeah, I don't see an avenue. Like, you want to say, okay, NC State's been on this magical run that, you know, they can go in and knock off the giant in Purdue, but what's been fueling them really to this run is DJ Burns, and he's been able to kind of bully his way down.
And who's
low.
His matchup this coming up this weekend?
But he's got to go against Zach Ede at 7'4", and he's just not going to be able to do what he did to Kyle Filipowski and Duke, and just kind of back them to the basket and play bully ball and get down low. He's not going to be able to do that against Zach Ede. So it's hard to see. It's hard to see that run continuing for them, because the star of their run could be neutralized with Zach Ede. And then on the flip side, with Alabama and UConn, Alabama's been really incredible. Mark Sears, as you mentioned, just such a good basketball player all the way around.
For sure.
He can be a floor general if he has to. He can shoot. He can score down low. He's a ton of fun to watch. And they've really been on throughout this tournament. But UConn is just overwhelming. They are just overwhelmingly good in every aspect. We talked a little bit about them earlier. I mentioned a few of their players earlier, Donovan Clingan, Stephon Castle, Tristan Newton. Those guys are just incredible in every aspect. And you look at that Illinois game, they go into half 28-23. They go on a 30-0 run and end up blowing out Illinois.
And they only shot 3-for-17 from three, too. That's the other part of it.
They can do it in any way. And they shut down one of the best offensive teams in the country in Illinois. Terrence Shannon, one of the overall best offensive players in the country. They're just overwhelming. So it's hard to see them being beat either. And honestly, I don't know if I give either of the underdogs a good percentage chance, because I think really NC State's only chance is DJ Burns, you know, playing out of his mind again, and that's hard to see against Zach Ede. And for Alabama, the only way I can see it is if they just shoot lights out. But even if they shoot lights out, it's like I just don't see them scoring more points than UConn. So it seems like it's going to be chalky, which I know some people don't like that. But are you kidding me? Like a Purdue-UConn national championship,
yes.
They're clearly the two best teams in college basketball. They were all season. There was never really much debate about those being the top two teams in the country. I think in both of our minds, that we kind of pinpointed them for the majority of the year. You get Zach Ede versus Donovan Clingan matchup, which is just going to be must-see TV. So if it is chalk, if it's one versus one, I think it's the most enticing national championship, at least on paper, that we've seen in years, because it is the two best teams. And I know there's not a Cinderella underdog, but nobody was very excited about last year's national championship. Just kind of call it what it is between, what was it, San Diego State and UConn.
Yep.
It just
And of course, we had that rematch this year, and then UConn won by 30. So there was that.
Exactly. So I think this brings excitement. I think it brings a marquee matchup against two of the best players in the country, and it's the two best teams in the country. So I think for me at least, and I would at least like to say for the majority of people, that's the hope, is that's the national championship, because that is bar none the best game that we can see at this point.
And then even moving forward, I think most people have UConn and Purdue in the Natty, and I think most people have UConn winning because of all the reasons you laid out. I saw a special on FanDuel of UConn or the field. UConn minus 184, the field is plus 150. So there is that. I think everybody understands this UConn team. They're a juggernaut. They're a machine. And Danny Hurley he deserves all the props in the world. He has built a program that is sustainable. Obviously, we'll see what he does when all these guys are gone and he has to replenish. But I have all the confidence in the world he'll be able to do that.
Yeah, I do too. They're ridiculously good, and he's built a monster at UConn.
Yep, for sure. And it took a while. There's a good lesson in there for a lot of not just college basketball teams, but you know, any team, whether it's college football or NBA or NFL. Sometimes patience is the best thing you can do. Patience is the best thing you can have when you're trying to build up a program or build up a franchise.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can't even remember exactly when he started at UConn. I think it was.
He's still in the AAC. I'll tell you that.
Was it the same year as Penny that he started at UConn, or the year after?
Something like that. I'd have to go back and check.
It was around that time, and I know I've talked about it.
But the first few years were not pretty.
No, they weren't. I remember them playing at Memphis, their last year in the American, and they just weren't a very good team. And I've talked about it before. I think I might have said it on the show last week, but Danny Hurley is the funnest coach I've ever been next to.
Yeah.
He is a trip. He is intense as they come, and obviously whatever he's doing is working because he has a complete machine over there in UConn.
No doubt about it. Well, Christian, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for hopping on. We'll do it again next week.
Yes, sir. See y'all next week.
Yes, sir. He is Christian Fowler on X at @CFowlerBCM, senior writer and content creator for Bluff City Media. We need to go ahead and transition real quick and hop into the Blitz. We have some NBA news to get to, and it has to do with one of the stars of this league, a guy who won MVP last year, that'd be Joel Embiid. Looks like he is nearing a comeback and could return tonight versus the Thunder. Is that a good decision or a bad decision? I'll tell you my thoughts next, right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.